You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, we shudder with pain and remorse for having lost children. Please forgive us, heal us, and send us to do everything in our power to protect children so that we all might live a long and healthy life and eternity with you. Amen. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus when he was 12 years old for 3 days. I lost my own child once. It was a matter of minutes, but they were very long minutes, and it was a horrifying experience. The shame one feels is so severe. It felt like I was being crushed by reality itself. I lost my child at an amusement park. One of the staff found him and was taking care of him, reconnected us, and they told me that when they had him, they asked him, "Do you know your mom and dad's name?" And he said, "Yes." They said, "Well, what's their name?" And he said, "Mommy and Daddy." It was cute, and it was also horrifying. To this day, I shudder to remember. Can you imagine our neighbors living in Gaza? Did you see on the news that many babies have literally frozen to death on Christmas? Why? Because this country, the United States, we are responsible for this war. We are. We fund it. We make it happen. We are responsible for withholding gas, food, water, and committing a genocide. I condemn the current administration. And I don't care if that's a political statement. I'm not going to justify genocide on my watch. And the next guy coming in, I don't care. He has the opportunity to stop it, and if he does, then good job to him. But the current guy and the next guy, they will stand before God's judgment. This war is over if we want it, if we lift up our voice. This is a democracy. We are God's people, and it says, "Thou shalt not kill." Hear me, all people. We will stand judgment. If we want the war over, we can end it. We should feel ashamed. I feel ashamed. Shame is an intense guilt that is appropriate under certain conditions. Psychologists tell us, however, that excessive shame on a child is toxic and can lead to mental illness, one extreme or the other. Overfunctioning perfectionists that never are satisfied with themselves, or criminals that think that they're bad to the bone and they can do no good. Either way destroys a soul. The thing we can all do is allow ourselves to feel shame and then allow ourselves to respond. That's what it means to be responsible. You feel the shame, and then you do something about it. We do not need to be ashamed of who we are in the core. Our soul is made in the image of God. Our soul is good. Parents, I know some of you really have lost a child, and I am sorry. I am so sorry. it's not okay. No one deserves to go through that pain. God forgives us of our sins. If we've done anything wrong, trust me that God forgives us. God forgives you. But with that forgiveness comes a responsibility. We all need to do everything within our power to protect the sanctity of life of children. Whoever calls themselves pro-life should not allow these children to be freezing to death. If we were really pro-life, we would stop it. We must do everything to stop it. Every life matters. Every human being has the right to live to 100 years old with food and water and shelter and health care. And we can do it easily, easily, like that. We have so many resources. If there's any consolation, it's that we can never own or possess children. We are simply caretakers, and our job is temporary. Ultimately, all of our children belong to God. This is why Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple. It's also why Hannah and Elkanah found their son Samuel in the temple. It's simple. If we go to a house of worship like you all have done today, thank you, we are reunited with our children. Communion is not just for those who are here. It's a spiritual communion with all the saints, past, present, and future. When we receive the bread and wine, we commune with those who we have lost. This is a sacred gift. For Hannah and Elkanah, the only place they could see Samuel was when they went to the temple. They had a little boy, and they dedicated him to God. When he was a little boy, he left his mother and father's house, and he lived in the temple night and day serving. And that's where they would see Samuel, who grew to be a great prophet, who challenged. We are called to challenge the leaders. Samuel spoke the truth to the king's face and called him out. That's our job. That's my job. Believe me, if we want the war to be over, it's over. If we want it, all of them, the big ones and the ones, the wars that happen within families, interpersonal conflict, it's all over. If someone chooses to attack us, that's their problem. They will stand before God's eternal judgment. All we have to do is have faith and serve God, and God will take care of everything. Isn't it kind of funny that Jesus, in his teenage rebellion, of all the things he could have done to rebel, he went to church? You can imagine Mary and Joseph giving him a lecture. They might have said something like, "You know, Jesus, you've really been hanging around that temple an awful lot. There's some shady characters down there." Can't you imagine Mary and Joseph saying, "You know, Jesus, you can be a little too religious. Maybe you should try some video games and basketball. Jesus, maybe you should try to fit in a little bit more. You know, some have said that religion is the opiate for the masses." That's what Karl Marx said. And isn't it ironic that one of the things we worry about with teenagers is drugs? We don't want them to get caught into a circle of addiction. And the teenage years, that is a risk. They are exposed to things in a new way. But if religion is the opiate of the masses, like Karl Marx said, maybe Jesus was drawn to the temple for a reason. Maybe our young people today are drawn to this place for a reason, for such a time as this, to not numb us, but to be a medicine that stirs our hearts. Amen. Please rise as you're able for the hymn of the day.